Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Osprey Medical Quarterly Investor Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mike McCormick, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kaylee. I am pleased to welcome everybody to the company's investor conference call for the September quarter. I'm delighted to have this opportunity to speak with you and to answer any questions that you may have. This has been a really busy and transformative period for Osprey. In this conference call, we're going to detail a number of things. First, we'll detail our GPO activity and how that has transformed Osprey. Today, we'll also announce a capital raising up to Australia, $21.5 million, comprising a private placement of a new cornerstone investor, Alan Gray, and support from existing major shareholder Brandon Capital Partners for our entitlement offer. I will also provide an update on the company's activities during the quarter, as well as an overview of our financial position before opening to any questions participants may have on the call. I'm also pleased to introduce our Chief Financial Officer, Nancy Ness, who have also joined me on this call today. So we'll start with a couple of highlights from our recent GPO activity and GPO contracts. I'll start by providing an update on our strong recent progress with the GPOs, as this marks a major commercial milestone for the company, and it allows us to reshape our commercial strategy to drive accelerated growth going forward. Osprey is focused on taking advantage of GPOs agreements, and this represents for us a top-down sales approach. Historically, prior to the GPOs, everything was bottom-up with an individual sales rep selling at an individual account. Now with the GPO activity, we've got a top-down sales approach that we're adding to the bottom-up. And we are confident that this will streamline our new hospital acquisition and drive increased penetration in these GPO accounts. As such, we have focused our efforts on negotiating prices and terms for contracts with these GPOs, and we have refocused our sales organization, the full sales team, on leveraging the GPO agreements that we have in place and that we've recently secured. We are pleased to see traction with the GPO-focused sales approach to date, with Osprey having now signed three national agreements that we announced in Q2, and we are ready to confirm also that we've received the Breakthrough Technology Award from Premier Incorporated. Premier is one of the largest GPOs in the United States with over 4,000 members. The combination of these four GPOs, the three that we mentioned in the last quarter plus Premier, gives us more than 50% of the addressable AKI market or a bad kidney market in the United States for our products. Premier, just a little bit of details on Premier. Premier is a leading U.S. healthcare improvement company. It has over 4,000 U.S. allied hospitals under its umbrella. The award that we have represents a significant milestone for Osprey, as we met key selection criteria for improving clinical outcomes and reducing the cost of patient care. And that's what the Breakthrough Technology Award is. The impending contract with Premier will allow member hospitals at their discretion to take advantage of special terms and special pricing on Osprey's technologies. Premier also recently completed a very large study that they called the Burden of Illness of AKI. What they did was they went in and they looked at their own database. They have the world's largest database of cost-based data, and they looked at 749 member hospitals who all had their cost data in there from AKI or from CKD patients, chronic kidney disease patients that were treated in the cath lab. That was 2.8 million patients. They noticed a couple of very interesting things from this study. First, the AKI rate within these premier hospitals grew from 18% in 2012 when the analysis began to 28% in 2017. So in a five-year period, it went from 18% AKI rate to 28% AKI rate in their member hospitals. And unfortunately, the patients who had an AKI event had a 61% increased chance of in-hospital mortality. They also looked at the cost of AKI to the Premier Healthcare System. what they call the burden of illness. And in these hospitals, it was $1.67 billion over the five-year period. Going forward, we expect to continue our focus on securing more GPO agreements to further expand our coverage, increase our penetration and into existing GPO accounts, and also continuing to partner with GPOs to do further research like the research I just commented on that measured the burden of illness. Next, I'd like to transition a bit to the quarterly trends or the numbers that we saw during the last quarter. During the last quarter, Divert unit sales grew 3% from 1,839 units in Q3 of 2018 compared to 1,787 units sold in Q2 of 2018. Unit sales were up 48% over the previous year's same period. Total unit sales, including the DiTect, reached 1,933 units. While we were disappointed in the growth in Q3, the average order size per hospital, so per customers that were already ordering, increased by 11% in Q3 2018 compared to 2Q 2018, supporting the company's confidence in our core strategies. In Q3, revenues were at $620,000, up 40% over Q3 of 2017. Revenues declined 5% quarter on quarter, and this was primarily driven by administrative fees that were paid to the GPOs that represent 3-5% of the company's relevant revenues. And additionally, during the quarter, the company offered introductory pricing for new European distributors to establish local inventories. These revenues represented low single-digit share of the company's overall revenues. Pleasingly, our U.S. average sales price, so the selling price that we sell to all the hospitals in the United States, not including GPO fees, was $350, reflecting the continued strength of our ASP, or average selling price, in the United States. Cash receipts from customers were at $683,000 in Q3, which was up 14% quarter-on-quarter versus 2Q 2018. Next, I'd like to transition to a little bit of detail on a new product that we recently got FDA approval on just last Friday. Osprey is pleased to announce that it's secured FDA clearance for a new product called the Divert EZ system. The Divert EZ offers a number of enhancements over the currently available Divert Plus product, which further reduces the time to priming and simplifies the priming process. So what historically took a couple of minutes to prime with the Divert Plus, now with iDivert Easy will only take a couple of seconds to prime or to purge the air from the system. The list price and the GPO contract price for Divert Easy will be the same as the Divert Plus. And we do expect over time that the Divert Easy will become the company's primary product platform, given that it's enhanced convenience and value to the end user. Finally, I'd like to give you a little detail on the capital raising. And as I mentioned at the start, some of my opening comments, that Osprey announced today that we had a capital raising of approximately $21.5 million. This raising will allow us to do a number of different things, accelerate our national accounts growth strategy, particularly with Premier that we've recently had the Breakthrough Technology Award with. It'll allow for providing ongoing support of our post-market approval market trials and partnered studies, such as the one that Premier had done, accelerate our pilot sales programs in Western Europe, namely Italy, UK, and Germany, and continued research and development for products like the Divert EZ that make the customer experience faster and easier to prime. The capital raising comprises a private placement to Allen Gray, raising $10 million, and an entitlement offer to existing shareholders on the basis of 1-for-5, raising up to $11.5 million. So at that point, I'd like to turn it back over to Kay Lee and open it up for any questions that anybody may have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will just pause for a moment to allow questioners to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Steve Wien with EAP.
Good morning, Mike. I was just curious about your unit sales growth. The run rate that you flagged at the end of last quarter was obviously far superior than where you ended. Can you, and then even partway through the quarter, it was seemingly more robust than where it finished. Can you sort of talk us through what happened in the final weeks of the quarter that caused that growth rate to deteriorate?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Good morning to you also. So, you know, the primary driver for sales growth was impacted primarily as the company reprioritizes our targeting of hospitals within each territory to align with the GPO strategy. So when we look at our business, it's not a straight line straight up in a individual quarter. So it doesn't transition just straight line in a quarter. It is up a bit. It is up and down a bit. So throughout the quarter, it's difficult to predict how each week comes in, although we certainly see some consistency around individual hospitals, but it is difficult to build on all of those. What we did see throughout the quarter was we had a lot of accounts that we focused on, or a number of HCA or a number of GPO contracted hospitals that we focused on. They got in the pipeline, but they didn't clear the pipeline. So we certainly thought that those would. When you look at the overall revenue and unit growth, we were probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 units off of where we had expected to be from a unit perspective. And a lot of that was related to some of the accounts that were held up, as well as some softening that we had right in the final month of the quarter around a couple of our incumbent accounts. But there were no losses of business by large accounts.
So the incumbent accounts that softened, do you have any color as to what was happening there, and is that likely to continue, or is there a rebound for this quarter?
Yeah, we always have a little seasonality that goes up and down in some of these individual accounts. As you might expect, the lower the level of data that you go to the individual account level, it gets more, fluctuates up and down a bit more. Do we expect any of those to go away or their usage to decline rapidly? No, we don't. There was no big losses that we had. We had a little bit of softening in a few areas. Some of it was related to the holiday season in the United States is a little bit higher in the summertime in the U.S., so certainly we probably felt a little bit from that, and maybe a little bit also in the Carolinas as they had some really bad weather in the United States that came through the Carolinas, specifically that being one of our bigger areas. But all of that is stuff that we certainly expect to rebound. We didn't lose any significant customers.
Okay. Also, just talking to units, your comment about the 11% average increase per hospital, can you reconcile that to the overall growth for the quarter? I don't really understand how that works.
Yeah, so if we take the average hospital order, so the hospitals that were already ordering from us, and we look at what's the average size of the orders that they place, the average size of the orders continued to grow with us. Now, what did not grow as much as we didn't get as many cleared through the pipeline as we had expected in the quarter. So we had 6 new accounts. We have a number of in the pipeline, about 28 in the pipeline, but we certainly didn't clear as many of those as we expected through the pipeline.
Okay, got it. And then just finally on Ditect and the composition that you've got between Divert and Ditect, is there any difference geographically now? Like, are we starting to see sales from Europe?
On Ditech, the only sales that we have in Europe is around Divert, the Divert franchise, not the Ditech franchise.
Okay.
So there's never been any Ditech franchise units that ever have gone out into Europe. It's only been the Divert franchise. And we flagged last quarter that we had signed an agreement with a distributor in the UK. Our primary focus in the UK is to get NICE approval, NICE approval in the UK. And as a support strategy for that, one of the requirements for NICE approval, or it's not a requirement, but it certainly is a, it helps the process of getting NICE approval, is to have a number of key opinion leading physicians and hospitals using the system. That's why we announced that we had signed on a distributor in the UK. And so we've got a UK distributor, and we also have a distributor that we signed on in Italy already. And the Italian distributor, the reason why we went to that country is because they're very focused on acute kidney injury and the prevention of that. They're one of the most published countries in the world, second only to the United States in AKI reduction.
Okay, and sorry, last one for me, just on the Premier deal that you've done, when would be the first time we would expect to see some units come through that arrangement?
We already have, so two things. One, we, as you might imagine, with Premier representing over 4,000 hospitals in the United States, we already have some Premier customers, as you might imagine. So we already have some revenue. When it falls under the Premier banner, and more importantly, when do we expect to see new customers? Great question. So historically, many of you have been watching Osprey for quite some time and remember from previous presentations. When we first started with the technology, certainly up until the GPOs, it was a bottom-up approach. And we clearly signaled how long it took for customer acquisition, which was typically 4 months to acquire a new customer, and that was taking them all the way through the initial introductory phase, all the way through to trialing, and then getting new technology approval. We're still in early days with the GPO, but what we expect from the GPO, and we do have some experience with this, albeit small, it's only about 80 days worth of experience so far, but we do expect that four-month time frame to get cut in half, to work to about 2 months. So specific answer to your question, when do we expect to see new Premier hospitals coming on board? It's going to take a minimum of about 2 months to get them through the pipeline. So we do expect the pipeline to grow, certainly this quarter, and we also expect some new accounts to come on board too. And certainly that will even grow higher in the first quarter of next year.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. McCormick for closing remarks.
I'd like to thank everybody for joining today. We look forward to giving you further updates as we have new market developments. I would also like to turn your attention to a number of documents that we've released today. One of them also includes a slide deck that gives quite a bit more detail on our strategies, so I'd ask you to look at those. And then also we will be doing a roadshow in the second week of November, where I'll be in Australia from that Monday, I believe it's the 12th through the 16th, and we'll be reaching out to current shareholders. If you're interested in an update at that time, the slide deck that we provided is certainly one that we'll be going over. But thank you, everybody, for calling in.